There we go. Does that pick up? Does that... Okay. I have finally learned how to work this thing. If you would open your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we'll read 12 verses toward the end of the chapter, starting in verse 41, with Jesus at the age of 12 being in the temple. I hope you all forgive me. I can't see everybody the whole time. These are reading glasses, not actual glasses where I can see anyone. So don't think that you can go to sleep just because I can't see you. A word of warning, I can't raise anyone from the dead. So if you go to sleep and fall out of the pew and injure yourself, you're on your own. You've had fair warning. Starting in verse 41, let's read the next 12 verses. I'm reading from the King James. It says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why have you dealt with us? Why hast thou dealt thus with us? Behold, your father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man." Mary and Joseph are an example to us in many regards. After all, they were chosen by God to be the parents that would raise his son in this world, that through him and his sacrifice, we might be found worthy to approach God. But Mary and Joseph weren't perfect, because in fact, of all things, they lost Jesus, the Son of God. And the truth is that many Christians do the same things, and results can be truly disastrous of this. But let's take a look here. We look at the setting, it's Jerusalem. They're commanded to go to the feast, to the Passover. It's a very exciting time. Many ways like any celebration in any other large city. But certainly this one required of God, and the Jews attended it. It was a very big feast. It was busy. It was loud. It was packed. How many hundreds of thousands of people would be joined into one place? It's exciting, but it's also tiring. And so on the way back, it's easy to lose track. On the way back, they had a caravan, you can imagine, and they were traveling away from Jerusalem. And in that caravan, the men and women were probably separated up, each talking about their own things. The men, of course, talking about hunting, fishing, politics of the day, and the women, you know, exchanging recipes, talking about quilting and how their husbands should give up the hunting and fishing for a little bit and come and do some household projects that they have been overlooking. And, of course, you don't need to remind a man of anything that he's supposed to do just because it's only been 6 months since the last time you told him. But while they're traveling, suddenly Mary and Joseph realize that Jesus isn't there. Have you ever been there? I don't have children, but I know my brother has kids. My brother-in-law has children, and on occasion they'll get lost. Or you go to the mall with nieces and nephews that you've been entrusted with. Suddenly look around, they're not there. And there's a little bit of consternation there. And so they're thinking again, he's possibly lost in that big city. We don't know. Now, Atlanta's a big city. If you've got children and you've been to Atlanta and you get in the car and you're driving, you look back and there's a child missing, there's going to be a little concern there. But where did Mary and Joseph look for Jesus? Well, we'll take that into account here in just a little bit. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 3, we find that Jesus had stayed behind. Mary and Joseph at this point don't even know that they've lost Jesus. They've been to worship. They've been there for a feast. They've had a celebration. They're tired. They're ready to go home. They're traveling home. And besides, Jesus at the age of 12, 12-year-olds should know when it's time to pack up and leave and be there with the rest of the family. So they weren't too worried. They didn't know that they had lost him at this point. And we can see that Mary and Joseph, we can see ourselves in here, in doing so, going to the feast, going to the worship, going to Jerusalem, they wanted to do the right thing. We do too. We go to church. We worship God here, as the Bible teaches us. And this is all good. But in so doing, we can also lose Jesus and not know it. In John 5, 39 and 40, we're told by Christ, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me to have eternal life. And so, though the Bible is here to show Christ, we can focus on its study and become great scholars of the Bible and know it inside, outside, upside down, word for word. But in so doing, we may not necessarily have learned about Christ and who he actually is. The church is here to keep us on track. And we're told in Hebrews not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Because in that time, there were Christians that were not assembling together. And when you do not assemble with those of like mind, it's easy to fall away. The church is here to keep us on track, but it again is not an end unto itself. In verse 44 of Luke chapter 2, thinking that Jesus was in their company, they traveled on for a day. And then they began looking for him with whom? Relatives and friends. Well, they supposed he was with them. They kind of took it for granted. And of course, we sing, we pray, we partake of the Lord's Supper, and we do these things each Sunday in a particular order, thinking that somehow we're punching our ticket and our ticket into heaven, and that this is how we can earn our way with the Lord, by doing these things. And we, again, are doing all those things, thinking, that, or not knowing, that we may have lost Jesus in the prospect of this. They decided to go look with relatives. Relatives are not where they needed to look for Jesus. The Jews of Jesus' day thought that they were right. Thought that they were right with God because of a birthright. Being right with God with them, being a birthright that they had promised to their father Abraham, they looked to that. And we see that time and again in the scriptures. But being right with God means that we focus on him, we follow him, and we don't merely assume, presume, or suppose. When they realized he was gone, they looked with friends and family. And yes, we should consider that we could find Jesus with our friends and our family, because we would like to think that in the homes of our friends and our families, they are focused upon Christ as well. And we should hope that. But Jesus warns against this in Matthew 10, verses 34 and 35, which tells us not necessarily to rely on our family to find him, because he says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And too many people are also moved away from the Lord by family and friends because they seek him in good people. And that isn't exactly where we should find him. There are plenty of people whom we consider good, but they are not Christians. They cannot show us the way. They do not show us the way to Jesus. And it's through Christ that we have salvation, not through friends, not through family. And we cannot necessarily find them in friends or family. Verse 45. When they did not find him, when Mary and Joseph didn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Again, this is the big city. This is where you start getting a little concerned. You've got a large city and we've got a 12-year-old child that we can't account for. So they go back to Jerusalem to find him. And this is over the course of about 3 days now. And imagine if you've got your 12-year-old child in that city. It's been 3 days. Again, there's more than just a little concern. You don't know what may have happened to that child in that period. And when we realize that we've lost Jesus, where do we go? Well, then do we go to church? That's a good idea. Many people, however, when they attend church, strive to get right with the church, not with God. And this happens. We see it frequently with those that will attend for a little while, they'll fall away a little while, then they'll come back and fall away and continue. And it's a thing that is indicative of someone who is trying to live right, but more concerned about being right in the eyes of his fellow man rather than being right in the eyes of God. Well, do we blame our culture around us? I've seen this a lot as well. People blame the culture, and they'll try to change others rather than try to bring themselves to repentance and accept the blame that's upon them for losing Jesus in the first place. In Matthew 24 and 2, finding the Lord isn't about finding a place. We'll start in verse 2 of chapter 24. It says, "Do you see all these things?" he asked. "Truly I tell you that not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down." This is in reference to the destruction of the temple, which was going to be destroyed. And even to this day, that temple has not been rebuilt. A Muslim mosque sits on top of the site that they believe that temple to have stood at. Jerusalem would fall, and thus the temple could not be trustworthy. A building could not be trustworthy for where we can find Jesus. What we have to do is look to where Jesus actually can be found. Now, his parents did find Jesus in the temple, but where do we find him today? Well, in Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, we're told to pray. The words there, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. For everyone that asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks, the door will be opened." We also should listen. We see in John 6, verses 68 and 69, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God." And we should learn, as we see in John chapter 12, verses 49 and 50, "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all that I have spoken. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." Well, the parents wondered why Jesus wasn't with them. Let's look at back in Luke chapter 2 again. Let's look at verse 48. "When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said unto him, 'Son, why have you treated us like this? Why have you thus treated us? Your father and I have been looking for you anxiously.'" Their thinking at the time may have been, "Is it me? Did I do something wrong?" And so often that is what we may think the first thing, but what do we do next? They try to shift the blame to Jesus. Well, Jesus never left us. He stayed behind. We're the ones that may have lost him. So yes, it is me. And they ask, "Why have you treated us like such?" Should they have not also been diligent to ensure that they had not lost him? When we backslide, when we fall away, do we blame Jesus? Do we blame others? Or do we accept the blame ourselves and realize that it is us? We need to make the change to come back, to be faithful members of our church, and to be faithful to Jesus, to our Lord, until our death. Many in his day wanted Jesus to be who they wanted him to be. And a lot of people today are like that as well. If we look in Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, we read Christ's words, says, "To what can I compare this generation? They're like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling out to others, 'We played the pipe for you, you didn't dance. And we sang a dirge and you did not mourn.' And like those of that time today, many of us and many of our fellows in our society want a Savior who makes life easy. The life of a Christian is not easy. Consider those in the first century who faced persecution, death, torment, like we have never faced in this country. The worst we have to face here is ridicule. And many of us won't stand up to that. We want a healer who keeps us well. Jesus was sent to heal us with our souls, spiritually, so that we could be acceptable to God. Not necessarily to heal us of all our woes. The healing that Christ did in his day was to show as proof to those around him who he was. It wasn't to heal the world of all its illnesses. It's sad when we suffer illness. It's sad when we see one that's taken from us before. We have to realize, though, that it's not a sadness of an illness or a burden or a loss that has occurred. Our sadness is simply that we miss that person. If that person has been faithful and we've been faithful, we'll meet again when we meet to worship our Lord in eternity. We want a king who feeds and protects us. Jesus fed thousands with little more than a few fish and a few loaves of bread. But if you recall, he got a little tired of the crowds following him. They weren't looking for the food of thought, the food for their soul. They were looking for food for the bellies. He departed from them. Those lost Jesus. We want a miracle worker who tends to our wants and wishes like a genie in a bottle. How many have you seen that will pray to Christ or pray to God, thinking they're praying through Christ in an acceptable manner for material blessings that they would expect to have handed to them just as it would fall out of the sky, like cashing in on a lottery ticket? That's not what Jesus came for. Jesus didn't come to serve our desires. He came to solve our biggest problem, and we need to get over this genie in the bottle mentality. Jesus said as much as this to his parents in verse 29 of Luke 2. He says, "Why are you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" They hadn't been looking for him where he could be found, and many today still continue to search for Jesus where he is not to be found. The Bible is where we found him and where we discover who Jesus is. Again, in John chapter 6, verses 45, it is written in the prophets, "They will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and has learned from him comes to me." We need to be focused on God and learn from his revelations and not from our own flawed intuition. Like us, all too often, Joseph and Mary didn't get it. We look in verse 50 of our reading. They did not understand what he was saying to them. And it was all because they didn't truly realize who he was. Jesus, the Son of God, in his Father's house, about his Father's business, and under his Father's care. So why should we worry about him? And isn't that a good thought for today being Father's Day? Son of God, in his Father's house, about his Father's business, under his Father's care. In Luke 7 and 28, Jesus revealed who he was to his people. He said, "I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the least in the kingdom of God is greater than him." And we know that Jesus became the least, completely submissive to his Father's will. Went to a cross, accused of crimes he did not commit, and held his tongue, and did not speak one word in his own defense. We lose Jesus and fail to find him because we fail to realize who he is. He is God. His focus is on righteousness, truth, and good for those who know him. Jesus, being God, looks at the world through eternal vision while we're caught up in temporal pleasures and fleshly desires. And in the end, he shows us who he is by exemplifying obedience and submission to God the Father. In Luke 2, 51 and 52, "Then he went down to Nazareth, and with them," or Nazareth with his parents, "and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man." He lived sinlessly. He died willingly that we might come to him. In John 8, 28 and 29, "So Jesus said, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him.'" And finally, in John 12 and verse 32, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Now, I've been told that the sign of a good lesson, the sign of a good talk, is that it has a good beginning, a good ending, and the two are close together. And I think I've done that today. But if you'll keep these in mind, you'll find that if you've lost Jesus, if you look for him in the right place, you can draw near to him as well. If you're here today, more than likely you've heard of this Jesus many times over. And it's highly likely that you fully believe upon him, and that maybe you haven't quite taken those steps to salvation. If you believe Jesus to be the Son of God, why not confess it before men? Why not turn your back upon the sins of this world in repentance? And why not be buried with him in baptism and rise from water as a new creature with a new life and live with him it faithfully and eternally until death, to where you can have that home of eternal salvation with him? Or, if like so many, you have lost Jesus, why not return to find him and remain with him throughout your walk in this life? If we can be of any assistance, I would invite you to come forward as we stand and sing our invitation.